relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
March along, sing a song with the army of the free. Count the brave.
Welcome back, dear friends, to this Veterans Day special of America First on the Salem Radio Network with me, your host, Sebastian Gorka, member of the President's National Security Education Board and author of The War for America's Soul. We are delighted to be joined for the opening of our second hour today by none other than the author for The Case for Trump from Stanford University, Professor Victor Davis Hanson. Welcome back to America First.
Thank you for having me.
Professor, we played earlier today a soundbite from the first debate between candidate Biden and President Trump, in which he was asked and he responded, and this is Joe Biden, that I will not do anything until the votes have been certified. Right now, we do not have certification of the votes. Just earlier today, Georgia said they have to have a manual recount of all votes. What is your reaction so far to the last 8 days of politics in America?
Well, that was then, and this is now. So I think they thought the polls and the media had ensured them a landslide victory. When that didn't happen, they had, in certain states, there were irregularities, and I think they understood there would be irregularities. And now they're a little, I thought they were going to get, you know, move on and get over it in a way that Hillary never did in 2016. And so now I think they're a little troubled because it's North Carolina has been called. It's very, very close in Georgia and Arizona. And if it comes down to Pennsylvania, of all the states, that has the clearest constitutional issues, because I think both sides agree that the legislature's regulations and laws were overturned in an anti-constitutional fashion. Just a question of whether the Supreme Court will want to take the heat and rule constitutionally, which would overturn the election.
You said that there's an article up at Fox Business. The headline is rather telling. Victor Davis Hanson, America cannot survive Biden presidency with Democratic majority in House, Senate. He's going to have to do something because he can't stay in the basement anymore. Does that mean that you think the president's attempts at various legal remedies and federal court relief will fail, or is the jury still out, as it were?
No, I think the jury's still out. The problem with all commentary that I've learned is that if you try to warn people about the dangers or the irregularities of a Biden presidency, then a lot of people on your side say, well, you shouldn't even mention that. But I think you should mention that, because the odds have never been in the president's favor as far as the advantages of the deep state and the media pollster. So we have to be realistic. It's an uphill fight.
You have written many books on classical Greek history, on strategy, not just your political commentary in The Case for Trump. And one of your key arguments, or one of the works that I've enjoyed the most, including your lectures, is your talk of
the unusually robust leaders and military men that civilization needs when there is an existential threat, the George Pattons, if you will. And I've been discussing a piece, you may have seen it in The American Thinker by Jay Valentine. It's a thought piece where he says, the question is, what would George Patton do if he were the president of the United States? And the scenario is the following. I would like to test it out on you. The author says, Patton was the master of offense. Never sit still, always attack, keep your enemy off balance. And the idea that in the next 30 days, there will be enough time to demonstrate election fraud of a scale that will reverse key battleground state results is slim, of course. So here's this author's argument. Be a bit like Patton. The president should hold rallies in those key states that he was winning until midnight of November 3rd. And put pressure on those mostly Republican state houses not to certify the election because of the rampant fraud that they don't have time to technically prove in court. And therefore, when they don't certify, there is no 270 for either candidate, and it goes to the House of Representatives for a party state delegation vote wherein the Republicans are in the majority. Is it wise? Is this pie in the sky? Or should the president try to exert more political pressure to gain relief than to trust in the whims of the judiciary?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not aware of the intricacies of state law in all of these swing and disputed states, but I think the Secretary of States will certify the election as valid or invalid. I think the legislature may have a role, but I think it'll be up to the Secretary of State. It's beyond doubt that public opinion affects these so-called disinterested officials, but I'm not sure we're at that point right now, because I think there's a 40, 60, 50-50 chance that the president will either win the recount in Georgia and Arizona, win the vote, or be in a position where a recount will be able to find out effectively which ballots should be invalidated. He's that close. So I think we're really talking, and if that should happen, that would be worth 1,000 rally. In other words, if Donald Trump, if we wake up in a week and Donald Trump has won in a row, North Carolina and Georgia and Arizona, and it's still out in Nevada, then all eyes turn to Pennsylvania. And what's part of Trump's problem right now politically and in a public relations media sense is it's too scattered. There's Arizona. The left keeps saying, well, even if you win Arizona, there's always Georgia. There's always North Carolina. But if he could resolve these through recounts or the original count, then the focus becomes on Pennsylvania. And all of his resources have been are coalesced into an area that I think is indefensible because of the late arriving ballots. Yes. And the constitutional question. So that's what I'm hoping, that we may get to rallies, but right now let's get the vote in Arizona, and get, if it's very close, and I think it will be, and I think there's some irregularities, ditto Georgia, let's get a recount immediately. And then I think we can work on Pennsylvania, but once those go, that momentum will be remarkable, yeah, especially given the media's warping of their analysis and prediction.
No, it absolutely is a question of momentum right now. He is senior fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford. Follow him on Twitter, VD Hansen, regular author on superb sites like American Greatness, amgreatness.com. And The Case for Trump is his book that you must read. Professor, what is your estimation? We've seen a few predictable ones, like Romney congratulate a man who thinks he is the president-elect. What is your estimation of the GOP establishment in terms of holding the line behind the president, his campaign, and his lawyers like Rudy Giuliani, who are fighting the legal battle?
I think it's mixed. Mitch McConnell, for example, has been very good. Even people, Bush advisors like Karl Rove have been pretty good. Fox has been split, but if you look at the main lineup that anchors that whole network, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, they've been very good on it. They've been loyal. And when we talk about defections, we're either talking of two types of people. The apostates that are in the Bulwark dispatch group, and some of my colleagues, many of my colleagues at the National Review, or and where I work at the Hoover Institution, for example, mostly people who were loyal to the Bush dynasty.
Yes.
And then defections among senators, a Ben Sasse, for example. Everybody expected that. So, and a Romney. So I don't see, when the left has to have on CNN a list of senators that they're targeting that won't call the election, you get the impression that for all of the disunity that Donald Trump was supposedly had incurred, that his party is staying very loyal to him. And it's partly because they know that Donald Trump gave them advantages they wouldn't have had otherwise, but partly they understand that in this upcoming election in Georgia, if they don't stand together, two things are going to happen. One, the base won't come out in Georgia. They'll say, why come out when they gave up? And two, the left will say, we got away with it in all of these different states, so there's no deterrent effect in Georgia. You stand tough right now and demand accountability, then people who may have had some ideas in their mind on January 5th may not have so many.
So far, so good when it comes to the establishment. Why? Because I do think the party has become Donald Trump's party. The book is The Case for Trump. Victor Davis Hanson, VD Hanson on Twitter, senior fellow with the Hoover Institution. Follow his writings at NRO and also AmericanGreatness.com, one of our favorite websites, AM Greatness. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
Short of him messing with the Electoral College and trying to have Republican or friendlies pick their own electors and, you know, go grand scale with faithless electors, what can be done to stop anything he wants to do in the next 70 days?
Well, if Vice President Pence and the cabinet had an ounce of fortitude and spine and patriotism, I think they would seriously consider invoking the 25th Amendment and, you know, pushing Donald Trump out, because he is just very unpredictable now. He's like a cornered cat, tiger. And he is going to lash out. And the fact that, again, that he has the powers of the presidency in his hands is quite worrisome.
That is the former director of the CIA under Barack Obama, a man who, in my estimation, still has his clearances, who is saying the president should be removed by the cabinet and the vice president. We have the best person possible to comment, Victor Davis Hanson, senior fellow of the Hoover Institution. Strategically, what kind of a statement is that, Professor Hanson, when a former cabinet-level official says, remove the president? Is that okay in America?
No. So spoke someone who has admitted that he lied on two occasions about drones and then the Senate computer surveillance.
Yes.
Under oath and was never charged with perjury. And I think he's very eager to get another chance to lie a third time he envisions a Biden administration. But the 25th Amendment is an area where he shouldn't go, because that was a complete disgrace, where we even had reports that there was a discussion between the acting FBI director and the acting attorney general to put a wire. And then in reaction to all that, we had Bandy Yee, the Yale psychologist, say that Donald Trump should be declared non compos mentis and forcibly removed. And we went through all that. And we went to it to the point of a joke where Donald Trump took the Montreal Cognitive Assessment Test and aced it. And I don't think he wants to bring up the 25th Amendment, because, of course, I think the narrative, or I should say the subtext of the Biden campaign, is he would never be able to pass the Montreal Cognitive Assessment Test that Trump did. So when he says 25th Amendment, all I can think of is that would benefit only one person, and that's it would be turned on Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris would be a beneficiary.
Where are we today, Professor Hanson, in America, where a former intelligence chief can call the president, the incumbent president, treasonous, a man who just received the biggest vote ever for any president, telling that his cabinet should remove him from office. And at the same time, he's not only saying that on a national channel, he's in the pay of a national channel as a commentator. When did this happen? Clearly not overnight.
No, I think Donald Trump ripped off a scab. He didn't cause the wound. He ripped off the scab, and what was beneath it was pretty putrid. So this had been going on question. And then in their anger and fury at Donald Trump, they revealed themselves without their veneers. I mean, when you have the so-called esteemed historian John Meacham writing Joe Biden's acceptance speech and then commenting on it as if it's a great work of oratory, that you can see the levels of corruption. And so it's everywhere. And John Brennan, I mean, this is the guy who weaponized the CIA in league with the weaponized FBI to destroy attempted to destroy the integrity of a campaign, a transition, and a presidency. And I think a lot of it's preemptive. He's trying to get Donald Trump out of there before he does something such as, I don't know, appoint a special prosecutor to look into Hunter Biden. And that would put an onus on, if Joe Biden were to be elected, what would he do? Would the left all of a sudden say Donald Trump threatened to remove Robert Mueller, which he never did? And you can't do that. You have to remove a special prosecutor looking into the Biden. So I think that all of these things worry Brennan. A person like that who is a creature of Washington doesn't exist. He can't breathe without that air of an official title. And he's desperate to get back in, and yet he doesn't realize that he's kryptonite, so even the left doesn't want him. And remember, finally, that when Obama came into office, he wanted to be CIA director, and it was the left, not people on the right, that said, you know what, he was the architect of enhanced interrogation. And before he reinvented himself as a leftist, he had been a Bush partisan and had been pushing for positions that were to the right of the Bush administration. And then when you know, the king is dead, long live the king. And then when Obama came in, he made the necessary careerist adjustments. So he's kind of a disreputable person, I think, to be frank.
To put it very diplomatically, Victor Davis Hanson, you've told us that North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona are very likely to be put in the president's column. Pennsylvania is not out of the question. Should there be a determination and a certification that the president wins 270 electoral college votes, what happens on the streets of America?
Well, you'll have chaos, utter chaos. And we all know you will. We had utter chaos here in California when Biden was prematurely announced. We're on a lockdown, Sebastian. We're told that on Thanksgiving we cannot have more than three distinct families, and we have to inspect our bathrooms, and we have to hold Thanksgiving out in November weather outside. And yet San Francisco and L.A. erupted with fireworks and mass celebrations without masks or social distancing. And people that were the architects of that quarantine applauded that. So there's no rhyme or reason. So we should expect mass chaos. But we're talking about
violence.
Yeah, I think there'll be violence. Absolutely. It won't come from the right. I mean, as people have pointed out, The plywood came down after Biden supposedly won because nobody Yes. ever feared the right, and it was always a question of the left. But what would get them very angry is that I think there's a way, I'm not predicting it, I'm just saying there's a good chance that Arizona and Georgia, and especially North Carolina, either through close scrutiny of the original count or a recount, Trump still has a very good chance, 40-60, 50-50, of winning without any legal recourse, just going back and doing what we should have done in the beginning. If that should happen, his case is enormously strengthened, because the one thing that everybody agrees on left and right was that the state legislature of Pennsylvania was overridden by local magistrates, officials, some cases unelected, and state judges. Everybody agrees with that, left and right. The question is, how many votes did that affect? And do you want to overturn an election because you want to support the Constitution or not? And that's what terrifies the left.
the very strange predicament we find ourselves in as a nation, that should we have transparency in the elections, should we find that there is a corrective needed, and the person who is the president is declared correctly as the winner, that's the result we should be afraid of in terms of violence, is not what we should be living in this great nation. He is the author of The Case for Trump. Order it right now. Follow him on Twitter, VD Hansen, senior fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford, regular contributor at NRO, and also American Greatness, amgreatness.com. Professor, have a blessed Veterans Day. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T. The number 2, T.org. T2T.org. Thank you.
I am right at this very moment looking at an article written by Washington Post. Says that I fabricated the allegations of ballot tampering. I'm here to say that I did not recant my statements. That did not happen. That is not what happened. And you will find out tomorrow.
So, do you know who that is? That is a little video of post office worker, now suspended whistleblower, Richard Hopkins, reading from his phone an article about him in the Washington Post, saying he had withdrawn, recanted his testimony that he had been ordered by the post office to postmark, to backdate ballots illegally. And he's saying, no, I haven't. That's how badly they are lying to you. The man is right there reading the article about him. Unnamed sources familiar with the case. It didn't happen. But, and I think Mr. G's right in this, the signs are, they're worried. They're very worried. They don't want to touch any of this because they know it's real. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We try not to forget important dates, anniversaries, issues that may be clouded or forgotten in the heat of the moment. Today is Veterans Day. We are celebrating our veterans, but it is also, believe it or not, the 400th anniversary of something essential to the founding of our nation. Not the Constitution, not the Declaration of Independence, but the Mayflower Compact. An incredible document meant to bind together a very diverse group of people who landed on our shores 400 years ago. And they had to come together to survive. And they wrote the following lines, and I'm going to share them with you right now. This is the 400th anniversary of these words. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign lord, King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, and the honour of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do, by these presents, solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together in a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. And by virtue hereof do enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time, as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness whereof we have hereunto subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the reign of our sovereign lord, King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Domini, 1620. That document of less than 200 words bound together a very disparate group of people for something they called the common good, a civil body politic for better ordering and preservation. The spirit of that document, the objective of that document, is being rent asunder now by one political movement and organization. It is of the left. It is the Democrat Party. It is their stormtroopers, their brown shirts, BLM and Antifa. And they wish to shred that which was created 4 centuries ago. The idea that we can live together and that we can be free. They wish you to submit to their ideologies, and we will not let them. Today is the 400th anniversary of the compact as written by the colonists who landed on the Mayflower. Tomorrow you can find out much more as the Mayflower Compact Project is launched at the Heritage Foundation. Go to heritage.org. We will return to your calls in the next segment. Leonardo, John, Joy, Bob, George, don't go anywhere. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation, live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. Drug-free pain relief that actually works. I don't need a script. I don't need talking points. I live it every single day, as does Gary from California. I cannot thank you enough. I'm 62 years old and have just started taking Relief Factor. I have never felt better and will recommend it to all my baby boomer friends. If you're in pain and nothing else has worked, you owe it to yourself to try this incredible product that attacks the source of the pain, the inflammation. Order the 3-week quick starter pack right now at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. The 3-week quick starter pack will be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know if Relief Factor works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans. ReliefFactor.com.
The Trump people seem to be talking like they have some agency here. We're going to have the pageantry already of the president-elect announcing his advisory board. He's going to start announcing cabinet secretaries. The center of political gravity in this country and the world is shifting to Joe Biden. foreign leaders are already having phone calls with Joe Biden talking about the agenda they're going to pursue January 20th.
Logan Act, can you spell it? That was little Benny Boy Rhodes, the only individual who the FBI refused to give an even interim clearance to when he worked in the Obama administration with, I think it was drug issues. That's what the word on the street is about little old Benny Boy. And he's saying what? Sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden is having calls with international leaders talking about foreign policy? Well, arrest him right now. That's how Joe Biden said they should frame General Flynn. Remember the DOJ memorandum? He said, Logan Act. Private individuals aren't allowed to be involved in American foreign policy. You're a private individual, Joe Biden, and you're not even the president-elect because the Electoral College hasn't met and votes have not been certified. I love the Babylon Bee latest article, already 15,000 likes in an hour. Headline, Babylon Bee. Girlfriend keeps referring to herself as wife-elect, despite no official word from boyfriend. Are you a president-elect as well? I think Jenna Ellis made herself president-elect as well last night. Who else is joining in? We shall ask. We shall have a little survey. But first, it's okay. Alaska, with 3 electoral college votes, has been declared for the president. Also in North Carolina, Democrat Senate candidate Cal Cunningham has thrown in the towel. He has surrendered the race to Tillis. Well done. Additionally, we have to have a discussion about doxing. Do you know what doxing is? That's when a person's private information, especially their home address, is released on social media to intimidate them. And guess who was doing it? And guess who got their Twitter account frozen because they were doing it? Those neo-fascists at the Lincoln Project. Why do they all look the same? Why are they all old, white, bald men? Strange. What is it? No, I mean bald, Chad. I mean, like, nothing. No tonsure, nothing. I mean, like, bald, like Patrick Stewart bald. Those creeps, Steve Schmidt. What's the other guy's? His wife is a Southern secessionist. Rick Wilson, right? Is that right? Rick Wilson and another one, I can't even remember. They're like the Three Stooges. Never Trump Lincoln Project targets Trump attorneys. They tweeted out the personal information of individuals working for Jones, Day, and Porter Wright Morris, the president's lawyers for the election legal battles. And Twitter finally punished somebody on the left. But that's who they are. They're fascists. They want to intimidate because they have nothing else. Oh, in the meantime, what did Twitter do to the president? In 24 hours, it labeled and censored 8 tweets from the president. In just 24 hours, 8 times, the commander-in-chief was censored. But hey, there's some good news. Dan Bongino, are you keeping Dan in your prayers? I'm praying for Dan. He's going to crush that cancer. But he, as owner of Parler, must be very excited. The conservative freedom of speech alternative to Twitter is now the number one downloaded app on Apple. I wonder why that is. Could it be because we've had enough of Jack Dorsey and his jackbooted thugs on Twitter? I do believe so. Let's go to your calls. The number is 833-334-6752. George in Montana, line 5.
Yes, good afternoon.
Carry on, George.
Yeah, I'm an old seasoned Vietnam scout pilot. I love my little bird so much, I own one. So yes, there are black helicopters. And I would like to be able to contact you aside from what I'm going to be sharing with you, because it's rather sensitive, but it involves a project I'm working with Senator Daines's office, and that which was published in the infamous New York Times. So this is legitimate. Nasal spray prevents COVID infection. Study finds it on the 5th.
And that's not what you said you wanted to talk about, George. So would you ask what you wanted to talk about? I'm not interested in nasal sprays right now. Okay.
Well, no, I had to put that in, but I wanted a background. I wanted to see what you had with LTC Tony Schaefer and his Twitter comments about the you know, it goes beyond the water, Mark, and I'm sure you're familiar with what I'm talking about. Can you expound on that?
Happy to. The watermark is a con. The watermark is a lie. You asked me about the watermark, so I'm going to talk about the watermark. The watermark... I don't care what Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer said. The watermark is disinformation. Do you know why? The idea that, oh, the president has a sting operation, he knew what was coming, and he put a special super-duper ultra-secret decoder ring watermark on all the ballots across America. Do you know why it's garbage? Because the U.S. Constitution states that the federal government does not run elections. States run elections. Every ballot in every state is different, and it is run by the state. The idea that DHS ran the election is bunk. It's garbage. And the second reason, why would somebody want to convince supporters of the president that it's okay? He's got it. You can relax. One reason and one reason alone, George. So you sit on your duff and do nothing. So you sit at home. The whole MAGA land says, oh, well, in that case, I don't have to do anything. It is a deliberate act of subversion. And that guy, Steve, whatever his name is, he should be charged with fraud and sedition. He wants to sell a book and he wants to make sure that Biden wins. The watermark is a lie. And it has one purpose and one purpose alone, to disincentivize you from actually going onto the streets, protesting and demonstrating. That's its purpose. That's the only reason that it is being floated, to make sure Biden wins. Ignore it. It is a lie. Thank you, George, for your question. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Wow. Man, some things get me really angry. But it's okay, because I just took my balance of nature about 15 minutes ago. You got to stay healthy, my friends. You got to stay healthy. Exercise is key. Getting out there in the fresh air, taking that stupid mask off, breathing the air God gave us, and also eating well. Sometimes you can't. You've got to make sure that you get every nutrient your body needs. And that is why I take Balance of Nature every single day. 6 little capsules, 3 red for fruit, 3 green for vegetables, that provide me 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables. That's remarkable. Things that you may not even like, as, you know, you like meat more than you like vegetables. But when you take your Balance of Nature, you're being the healthiest you can be. And right now, Dr. Douglas Howard, the inventor of this incredible product, is giving you 35% off and free shipping on your first preferred order if you use my name. Call them on 800-246-8751 or balanceofnature.com. But you've got to use my name for that discount. That's 800-246-8751, balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Do you know how insane and psychotic they are? I'll show you. This is David Muir and Martha Raddatz of ABC on what they think the president's really doing. Eric, play video cut 5.
Well, Martha, you've covered Washington, you've covered the Pentagon for years. Have you ever seen an interim period like this? A defense secretary out, 3 more top Pentagon officials tonight. And if this is unsettling for folks at home, what do your sources tell you tonight? Is there any concern that this could put national security at risk?
You know, David, no one has seen anything like this. There is concern about what this means. Is the president planning a military operation or the use of federal troops, which Esper opposed?
Is it military operations? No, you cretin. He fired the Secretary of Defense that didn't want the president to keep his promise to the American people to bring our troops home from Afghanistan for Christmas. But you are a fearmongerer, and we are not buying it. Let's go to your calls. Let's go to Joy in Sacramento. Line three.
Hi, Dr. G. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Love you and all you do. A couple of things real quick. I think we should all join in on social media with you and self-proclaim a president-elect. I think we should self-identify.
You mean all of us?
Yes.
So we're not going to do the transsexual or yes. I'm a furry animal. We're going to say we identify as yes. president-elect.
Yes, we should all do it.
I love it. I love it.
Okay. And all before right. I let you go, I wanted to read to you what I got in my ballot. I received two ballots for the first time, one with my divorce name and my maiden name. And I still went and voted in person. But what I wanted to read to you is something really important real quick. And it says that in our county, in the packet, here it goes. California state law requires my county elect office to match the signature on my return envelope to the signature on my registration card before they can count my ballot. If you return your ballot by mail, it must be postmarked on or before Election Day and received within 17 days after Election Day for it to count. So I just wanted to point that out. It's like 17 magic number day out and still they're counting California. For Biden,
and
which
and
I
you received two ballots, one in your maiden name?
Yes, sir. I received two at my address with my maiden name and my divorce name.
That's exactly what we've been hearing. Stay on the line, Joy. Fabulous call. Let's get her a signed copy of The War for America sold. There are reports that the part of the fraud, the scam in this election, was to use multiple ballots for the same voter. If they were female, they would use one in the maiden name and one in the married name. And here we have confirmation from one of our callers. God bless you. We're going to go to California next. Jennifer Horn and then the Baron. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. If you haven't done so already, please go to YouTube, hit the like and subscribe button and the notification button, and you'll never miss a thing.